I was muted. I'm so sorry. What's up? What is up? What is up? What is going on, everybody? Welcome, welcome, and welcome to a special edition of the Author's Alley. I am your host, Frederick Beattie. And so, and thank you guys so very much for tuning in with us tonight, man. This is going to be a very special episode. As I am going to be talking about myself. And if you guys want to join me, if you want to join me in the chat, ask me some questions, you most definitely can do that. You can ask questions in the YouTube chat. You can also ask questions in the Facebook live chat. You can also ask questions in our Twitch stream, if it's available. Yep, you can also ask questions in our Twitch stream. So you can ask questions in our YouTube chat. You can ask questions in a Trailblazers Radio Facebook page chat, as well as the Man Cave Conversations chat, as well as our Twitch stream chat. So make sure you ask those questions. So what's this Author's Alley going to be about tonight? Well, it's going to be about primarily me. So I'm going to talk a lot about me. Talk about my writing journey. We're also going to talk about the first book that I ever wrote and had published. Gonna tell you guys a little bit about the journey of that particular book. And also, you know, probably drop a link of where you guys can get the book as well. So a little bit about me. I am Frederick Beattie. I am the, one second, should have did this earlier. Sorry about that, y'all. I should have did that earlier. So my name is Frederick Beattie. I am the owner and CEO of Trailblazer Radio. We are a diverse podcast platform that talks about a myriad of subjects. We're not afraid to go and open those closet doors. We're not afraid to tell it like it is, and we're not afraid to speak our mind, but also speak our truth. And a lot of people know me as this person that's behind the microphone, or this individual that is in front of this person that's behind this microphone, or the person that's in front of the camera. what a lot of people don't know is that I'm also a 10-time publisher. I attend a published author with 10 books written, 10 books to my name. 5 of those books are books that I've written. And then the other 5 of those books are books that I've contributed to as a co-author. With the main contributor being one book that I was a collaborator on with Samantha Swain and three other writers, and then another book with Sandra Ruff Jackson and several other writers, and then the last three collaborations I've done are with Angela Thomas Smith, someone who I greatly and highly respect. She's my sister in writing. She's my sister in writing. So she's someone that I highly respect, and I highly respect and support. So I do have 10 books written to my name. Like I said, 5 of those books are written. 5 of those books are that I wrote by my that I wrote, and then the other 5 are contributions as a co-author. So that's what you need to know about who I am. But so I think to know me I also want to say that I've also been a contributing writer to a couple of publications. One of those publications being the Life magazine. That was a print publication for a while, and then became a digital publication with my brother, Mr. Gerald Anderson, and Miss Tina Marie Hollywood. Those are some awesome people. And also my sister Shanta Wilson. Awesome people, man. Very awesome people. And also I was also a contributing writer to Aspiring Authors magazine as well. Again, this is a publication from my sis Angela Thomas Smith. Again, these are people that I highly respect and highly and support highly. So that is enough about who I am. Let's talk a little bit about I want to tell you guys where this writing journey of mine started. So for me, as a child, I had always loved writing. I was a reader first, and one of the things I like to say is that readers become writers, and that's true. They do become writers. So I was a reader first before I was a writer, but I've always loved writing. It's something that I'm especially good at. It's something I feel that I'm really good at. And it's something that I feel that I excel at. And so my love of writing, I've been writing actively, including published works. Including my published works. I think I've been writing actively since age 10, been writing actively for that long. And again, it was the first thing that I did as a writer, me and my brother had created a comic book, and my brother did the drawing, did the writing, did the penciling, and the coloring. I was responsible for the character dialogue and also I was responsible for the character dialogue and the narration boxes. Now, if you kind of have an idea of where my influence for writing came from, well, it's a pretty simple medium. It's from a very unexpected and unconventional source. Like I said, I've been writing actively since I was 10 years old. However, my inspiration for writing comes from comic books. So yeah, my inspiration for writing comes from reading comic books. As a teenager, and then as a young adult, comic books were the medium of inspiration and reading was my medium of inspiration. Like writers like, you know, the late great Stan Lee, Frank Miller, Neil Gaiman, Brian Michael Bendis, Alan Moore, Grant Morrison, so many other writers that I could name off the top of my head. Now, I was also influenced by the likes of Tom Clancy, and McCaffrey. Now, Tom Clancy is a very popular writer. If you read any of his books or seen any of the movies, you know that a lot of those Tom Clancy movies were based off a book. Were based off a book of the same name. So I was a big fan of Tom Clancy. But I was also a big fan of Anne McCaffrey. For those who don't know who Anne McCaffrey is, she is a fantasy writer who wrote the Dragon Riders of Purge series. Now, I haven't read all the books in the series, but I've read quite a few. And every book that I've read in that series has been an awesome read. I'm also inspired by authors such as Jackie Collins and Donald Goins. Again, my inspiration for writing comes my main inspiration for writing comes from the comic book medium. It is because of the writers that I mentioned: Stan Lee, Grant Morrison, Alan Moore, Frank Miller. Those guys, it's how they took the characters that they had a charge over, and you know, these are superheroes such as Wolverine, Captain America, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman. Now, like I said, I was a fan of reading both Marvel and DC. But even as I got older, I started reading more. Also reading other comic book companies, Wildstorm Comics. As I got older, I started reading manga. It was very, very inspired by a writer by the name of Kite Kubo, who, For those of you guys who are anime fans, I believe she is the writer of the Bleach series, So again, my inspiration comes from a great many sources, but mostly comic books. And like I said before, I was amazed at how these guys, these people, took these characters, these established characters, and wrote these amazing stories, as well as humanized him. But also, I saw a lot of comic book characters tackle a lot of our social issues. I remember I read an older Iron Man comic book where it tackled alcoholism, and I think one of the Marvel comic books tackled racism as well. So I was someone who were inspired by guys who could take these characters, humanize them, and write very, very believable and relatable stories, but also as well tackle social issues and write about them with such zeal and accuracy and fervor. So comic book medium was something that I was really, really inspired by it. At one point I did want to be a comic book writer. I wanted to submit something to Marvel Comics. Wanted to submit something to DC Comics. It never really panned out or never really came to fruition though, because I was a bit scared. I was scared. Not even gonna lie, I was afraid. But that didn't stop my love of writing. You know, soon I found myself writing for my high school's literary magazine, and as a, you know, contributing maybe a poem or a short, contributing a poem or two. After a while, you know, writing was something for me to do as far as a hobby. It was something that I was doing and I liked it. And I loved it. I grew great satisfaction for writing short stories and having people read them and having them be such astonished about how I wrote a short story and how I wrote short stories. Now, in that, you know, there were a lot of things that, you know, happened, personal things that happened that kind of, that took me away from the writing. So that took me away from writing for a while. But to be actively writing something as far as like a poem or something like that. But I always had and still have a notebook handy, just in case something pops in my mind. I can quickly write it down. And if it's something for a book or an idea for a book or a poem or something of that nature, I could just quickly write it down and get that thought out. And which brings me to the year of 2015. So I really felt that I wanted to put something out there for the world to see, for the world to read, and for the world to understand, and for everybody to look at this and say, you know, not to say that I arrived or anything like that, but say that, you know, he wrote a good story, a good relatable story. So 2014, I think it was 2014 or 15, I actually wrote a rough draft to a book. And I kept writing and writing. It was a rough draft, and it looked like it really made sense and things of that nature. And just so happened that this publishing company by the name of Diamond Cut Publications, who was with King Diamond and Silent Storm, two people to whom I respect immensely, very, very immensely, because they are the ones that got me started on this publishing and writing journey. This helped propel me further in this writing journey. So through a friend that I knew, I submitted a manuscript to them. They took a look at it. They called me back. They said they loved it. There were some things that needed to be worked on, but overall, it was great. It was wonderful. Now, usually, you know, now I didn't know that you had to submit like three chapters of a manuscript. I submitted to them like maybe four chapters of my manuscript, and. Like I said, you know, they loved it. You know, within 5 days, they shot me a contract. I had someone give it the once over. It was good, and we moved forward from there.
So I was assigned author to Diamond Cup Publications. And my sole project under them was initially called A Broken Circle. We'll get to the specifics about certain things here in a little bit. So the initial project with them, my initial project that I wrote for them, is called A Broken Circle. I'll pretty much tell you that A Broken Circle and Broken Chains are one and the same book. It's albeit different, a lot of differences. So the summer of that year, the book was released. We had a big book release party in Jacksonville, Florida. I got to meet King Diamond and Silent Storm in person, and we just had a good time out in Jacksonville, selling books, things of that nature. Giving homage to a great person, I think it was King Diamond's brother or his brother, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So, in the time that I spent with Silent Storm, and I won't forget what she said to me, because it really meant a lot to me. For somebody that was a rookie like me coming into the publishing game, not really understanding what it was and what it entailed. One of the things that she told me that, you know, by looking and reading my book, I had a lot of potential as a writer, as an author. One of the things she told me she wanted me to hold my craft, to write more compelling stories, to dig deeper into my subject matter, or dig deeper into how I tried to develop my characters, take more time into developing my characters, and then developing a good outline or a good flow for my books. This is not to say that my first book didn't have a flow or didn't have a premise or didn't have great characters or anything of that nature. It was just something that she told me to help propel me forward. And I think that was the best advice that I think I've ever gotten. It was the best advice that I had ever gotten. And it is something that I take with me. And something that I try to implement in every book that I've written, everything that I've contributed to as a co-author as well. And that's a process that I use or take with me when I write. Now, once the book was published, everybody was responsible for pushing their books. I did the very best that I could to push that book. For some strange reason, you know, it didn't quite catch traction the way I had initially wanted to. And this is me being very green in the publishing industry, in this publishing game, and not really understanding or not really knowing certain things. Thankfully, there were several people that helped me understand it better. Big shout out to my brother TB Scott. Big shout out to my brother RJ Davis. Big shout out to Tony Wade and Kai Rodriguez. Especially TB, especially Troy and RJ, they were very integral in helping me understand how this publishing game is, how how it works, how it operates, how it moves, the many moving parts and things of that nature. Those are two guys. Well, all four of those people are people that are highly, again, they're along with the two, along with Silent Storm, is along with King Diamond. Everybody that was on the Diamond Cut roster were people that are highly respected, you know, highly respected. So there's for people that are looking for a bad blood story, nah, not from you. You won't get that from me anyway. You won't get that from me. But like I said, you know, Troy and RJ were very integral in helping me understand this game. You know, I'm actually a member of RJ Davis's Facebook group called The Palace. So, and then, like I said, me and Troy are, you know, we share a commonality of being brothers in the Navy, not serving in the same place, but serving in the same other in the same branch. So that was something that helped. That was the one commonality with me. And then me and Troy and RJ and Kai and Tony got very close. And you know, one of the things I wanted to, I always try to do, you know, I always ask questions if I didn't know anything. Troy and RJ were always available to me, were always available to answer questions that I had. And they made sure we didn't stop talking until I got the answer that I needed. And if they didn't have the answer, they always pointed me in the direction of getting the answer. Someone who was much more knowledgeable than they were. So, like I said, the broken circle is out. It wasn't doing well as I had expected it to. My expectations for the book was for people to look at it, to take it and read it, and find something relatable in the story. So it didn't do as well as I thought it would have, this is not why I wanted to do an amicable. There was an amicable split from me and Diamond Cut Publications. There was no bad blood or anything of that nature. So, you know, both King Diamond and Silent Storm respected my decision to come away from Diamond Cut Publications. They also gave me my manuscript. Now the artwork for the book, that was something that I could not take with me, which was fine. But I was armed with my manuscript, and set out on this journey to publish this book by myself or self-publish. Now, this journey did not come without hardships. However, 2015, my son passed, so that delayed the book a lot. That delayed the book at least 2 years. Because of that, and I want to give a shout out to Miss Susie Newton, somebody who had been mentoring me through this self-publication process, along with several other people who have been helping me navigate this self-publication process, understanding what it was, understanding what to do, understanding where to go and how to do it. Armed with that knowledge, I took my manuscript and I gave it the once over. Now this was going to be my first book that I ever had self-published, and I had no idea about editing, had no idea about formatting, had no earthly idea about that. So as I'm editing and rewriting this manuscript, because there were so many things with the manuscript that were, it wasn't like they were omitted, but they were written in a way to where it wasn't indicative of the style that I wrote it in, you know. And it was a lot of work, but the work was well worth it. There were parts of some stories that I had to add more content to, because from reading my own manuscript and then reading the book itself, it felt like the characters that I had were underdeveloped or not quite fleshed out enough. So I had to add more content to it. Also adding more content in the afterword, and then deciding on whether I wanted to do something, whether I want to add information that people could take a look at and read and research, or if I wanted to do something different. There was a lot of things that I did when it came to this book. A lot of things that happened with this book. There were a lot of moving parts to the book that I had no idea. Because I was doing everything on my own, I had to find a picture. A picture that was able to fit what I was trying to do or fit the theme of the book. And was learning how to edit my book on the fly. Learning how to format on the fly. Did a lot of research with KDP. At the time KDP was called CreateSpace, before it was KDP. So did a lot of research into KDP, CreateSpace or KDP, understanding certain aspects of it, understanding how to use it properly, how to do this, that, and the third. A lot of trial and error. So once I got all those things out of the way, my first book that I had been lovingly taking care of and caring for as if it was a child for two and a half years was finally ready. So in 2016 or 2000, I do believe it was 2016 where the book came out, but in the inside of the book, I think the publication date states 2017. So in late 2017, Broken Chains was live. This book was live. It was available on Amazon. I pushed it. Oh my God, I pushed it. I tried my best. I kept pushing it. And, you know, did a couple of book events. One in Barnes and Noble, and did another book event that my friend Shanta had told me about. And then did another. My friend Shanta told me about, and those experiences were great experiences. The book event in Barnes and Noble was a wonderful experience. I got a chance to talk to people about my book, to tell them about the synopsis, talk about the subject matter, the themes of the book, talk about the characters of the book, and even the church event, which. It was great, was a spectacular, was a great experience, because again, I got to talk about my book in detail, got to talk about the theme of the book, the characters in the book, and to really talk about what I wrote about. It meant a lot for me to talk about it. So I'm sure you're wondering what Broken Chains is about. If you don't mind, I'm going to read the synopsis to you. Then I'm going to tell you what that means. It is never easy to escape the chains of abuse. Even when the chains are broken, the residue of those chains remain. For Levitica, Jarrett, LJ, and Karina, this is even more so. They have told their stories, but their lives don't end just because their stories do. There are still people, situations, and conflicts that need to be faced, reconciliations to be made, and healing that needs to take place. For these four, it is more about freedom. Freedom from the cycle that has surrounded them, ruled them, and almost destroyed them. So as you notice, there are four characters in the book. If you're listening from the synopsis, the book is about abuse, domestic violence, domestic abuse, abuse in all of its forms. Now you're probably wondering why I chose a topic like that. Well, several reasons, but one of the main reasons is that domestic violence or domestic abuse is something that isn't readily talked about in today's society. It's not talked about in the Black community either. So I chose that to be the catalyst for my book because it's something that isn't readily talked about. Matter of fact, it's something that's always swept up under the rug. So I chose to talk about it. As difficult as the subject matter is, I chose to talk about it. And it was a difficult subject matter to write. Four different characters, four different stories, one particular place or hub. These characters are familiar with each other. They're friends, they're associates. They know each other. The setting of the story takes place in Atlanta, in Georgia. That's where I'm from. Even though the city and state is non-fictional, the certain locations are fictional. But like I said, there are four characters. Who are these four characters? But before I do that, let me just give this quick disclaimer. This book was loosely written. The reason I chose is because one of the stories is loosely based up off my own experience with domestic violence. Now, for those of you who've been watching this platform and have heard me talk about it, I've been on both ends of the spectrum. I've been the abuser and I've also been the abused. So this is loosely based upon my own personal experience with domestic violence. It doesn't tell my story or my stories, but it's loosely based off them. So, and I wanted them to be what I wanted to try to make it include a little bit of what I had went through and what I experienced in the story. The characters. So we have Leviticus. So we have Leviticus, a career woman, a loving wife, a loving wife to her husband DeAndre, a loving mother to her kids, Leviticus and Letitia. Leviticus finds herself in a situation to where she's being physically abused by her husband. And for a long time, she's been hiding it. She's been hiding it from her kid, from her children. But one day, a chance meeting with a young gentleman, and no, we're not talking, this is not an extramarital affair, but a chance meeting with a gentleman changes her life. And a revelation from her son changes it again. She decides to take her power back. And she decides to end the vicious cycle of abuse. I won't go into any detail about it, I'm just going to give you a brief synopsis of her story. LJ Thomas. This is a secondary character. A senior in high school, on the verge of graduating. However, graduating high school and his dreams of becoming a race car driver are rapidly deteriorating due to his mother and his uncle being a drug addict, as well as his uncle physically abusing him, as well as his mother neglecting him. A chance encounter with a school nurse prompts her to take action. Thus leading LJ to giving LJ a solution. A possible and hopeful solution. But that solution seems to be dashed because his mother and his uncle want to destroy that. And with his father's help, he finally breaks through. My third character, Jared Solomon, a happily married man, or so he thinks. The owner of JTR Full Throttle Racing. So a very successful auto sport company in Georgia. Now, this is a fictional company. He's experienced success at the highest level. But doesn't understand why his wife is verbally and at times physically abusive. She still blames him for the death of their daughter. This man has tried all types of means to try to get his wife to turn around and change her behavior, But will a chance encounter, help him or hinder him? And the last character, Karina Fulton. Now, she is the only character that is not of African American descent. She's Saudi and black. She's Saudi and black. She's Arab and black. So she has a dual heritage. Karina Fulton was a young black girl who developed a woman's body at 16 years old, whose mother had abandoned her. She bounced around from foster home to foster home, only to get to her quote unquote forever home, only to be sexually abused by the foster father. Now, as a result of this, she had a child, Jermani. The foster brother killed the child. With nothing else to live or to fight for, she turns to the streets. She becomes a sex worker. Now, a lot of people would think that this is an abuse, but this person's already been physically abused by one person, but now she's abusing herself. But then she's also beginning to be assaulted in that way by a gentleman by the name of Black, who's a very abusive pimp. A chance encounter with her brother and a young man by the name of Shaw Spencer. Does this chance encounter save her life, or does it destroy it? Those are the four characters. Each one of them having a particular story that still revolves around the same theme: abuse. Now, the way that I wrote this book was a lot different. The way that I wrote this book was also the same way that I approached the second book, which is The Road Less Traveled, which I'll be discussing soon as well. So I like to call this style of writing that I've adapted. I call it a conversationalist style. Instead of using descriptive sentences and words, I use the conversations of the characters to not only drive the story forward, but also evoke certain emotions. Of course, there are going to be descriptive sentences and paragraphs here and there. But when I thought about the rework of this book, I wanted to write it in a way to where the readers could not necessarily understand, but to feel the emotions that each of the characters were feeling, to feel the fear, the sadness, the deep desperation and despondency that each character was going through their conversations. Of course, there's some descriptive words thrown in to heighten certain emotions. But what I want people to understand when they pick up this, when they pick up this book, I want them to understand the emotions that are in it, the emotions that drive the emotions that drive the conversations and the story for and the story forward. A lot of the conversations that are in this book, they're difficult conversations. They're conversations of with people coming to a reckoning of where they are, and where they how they feel and where and how and what they feel. But also they're conversations that draw about a great amount of emotions with that draw a lot of emotions out of out in them. And the goal is to have people feel that to have the readers feel to have empathy for them. Not have sympathy for them, but to have empathy for them. So, which leads to one of the things that I want. There's at least the second to last thing that I want to talk about before I read an excerpt of the book. One of the more difficult characters to write. Now, Jared and LJ, they were easy characters to write, and to a very large extent, Levitica was as well. But the most difficult character to write, the most difficult story to write, was Karina's. There's a lot of emotional upheaval. That's not to say that each character doesn't experience the emotional upheaval. That's not to say that because each one of the characters comes across some sort of breaking or stopping point for themselves. And that's where they have their revelatory moment. And it shakes them to their very core. But Karina's story was the most difficult to write. It was difficult as far as emotional value and the emotions that were the intensity of the emotions that her conversation with her brother, Khalil, brought about. And also writing about some of her memories of what had happened with her, especially with the beginning of her story. There was a lot of high emotions there. Reminiscing about her child, that child that was lost. Not to mention now she's out here abusing herself. Not to mention being sexually assaulted by a pimp. But then also again, dealing with being abandoned by a parent. So there was a lot of things going on with Karina. And it was like I said, especially the part to where Karina and her brother had their conversation. It was very, very emotionally. It was very, very emotionally charged. And I had to stop typing for a while. I had to stop writing for a while because of. And every time I talk about writing her part, I always get emotional about it. I always get misty eyed about it. And the reason that I get misty eyed about it is because of the extreme impact that moment between Khalil and her brother had on me. It pulled about a lot of emotions that I never thought that it pulled out a lot of emotions in me. And I'm typing and crying, tears are falling down my face at the same time. And then it got to the point to where I was so emotionally overcharged that I had to pull away from it, because, you know, I literally cried. I literally cried. But when I think about it, that's not the first time that an emotionally charged moment in something that I've written has evoked those strong emotions. So Karina wasn't the most difficult character story to write because of the large amount of that one emotionally charged moment. And it made it difficult to write her story, at least. There's an epilogue which talks about all four of the characters, but I also put an afterword in here. This is something that I wanted to make sure that I talked about, because number one of the things I said, although this story is fictional with happy endings, there are far too many true stories that do not share the same ending. Abuse is an issue that is not addressed enough in today's society. Every day, someone is seriously hurt or even killed in an abusive situation. And far too often, the abuse is ignored by the one being abused. We must take a stand against abuse in all forms. However, the first step in addressing a problem is acknowledging the problem or the abuse exists. Eliminating the fatal thought of everything is okay and that it won't get worse is the first step. That was the first part of the afterword that I wrote. And there is there are six words or six phrases that I put in there. Educate, escape, get safe, stay safe, empower and protect. And I'll describe what each one of those means to me. I'll describe what each one of those means as far as I'm concerned after I read this excerpt. So I'm going to read an excerpt to you guys from I'm going to read that emotionally charged excerpt. Give me a moment for a second. So I'm going to start from the self. I'm going to start from. So just kind of set the stage for this. Karina Shaw out in Gwinnett Place Mall, and they're enjoying themselves. They're at a food court where she passes by her brother. They have a brief conversation. And Shaw, you know, Shaw being the person that he is, he likes Karina. He really likes Karina and wants to try to build some things with her. And that's what they're building towards. So this is while they're having their conversation. So I think it's a couple of pages. So, starting from here, without warning, Khalil grabbed Shaw by his shirt and hoisted him up in the air like he was dead weight. He looked at Shaw with utter disrespect. Khalil's eyes narrowed. And who the fuck are you to tell me what to ask my sister? Who the fuck are you? Her pimp or something? He noticed that Karina was still sitting silently with tears were streaming down her face. He looked at Shaw again, then his sister, and the anger in his voice intensified. What the hell have you done to my sister? Tell me or I'll fillet you like a fucking fish. Khalil, stop, he heard his sister beg. Karina, who is he to you? Answer me now. You still don't fucking get it, do you, pal? Khalil, put him down now, she demanded. Not until you tell me who he is to you. A friend, a very good friend. Please put him down and I will explain everything. Khalil saw the look of concern on his sister's face. Apparently, this person was of some value, or else she would not be this bold with me, he thought. He sat him down. All right, Karina, he said, I've done what you've asked. Now you will answer my questions. You are not my father, Khalil. You can make no demands of me. I do when it comes to your safety, Karina. Father has been searching for you. And where was he when mother gave me up for adoption? That was a question that did not generate a response. I did not know that mother gave you up for adoption. I had no knowledge of that. Father never knew either. Of course you didn't, Karina countered. You and father were too busy pushing mother away. Mother wasn't equipped to take care of me, so she put me in foster care. I bounced from home to home until I came across my last foster parents. She paused for a moment to gather her thoughts. I was sexually abused by my foster father, and he got me pregnant. I was carrying his child. I told my foster mother what was happening, but she ignored it. Germani came 9 months later. I loved my son, even though he was the product of sexual abuse. I loved him so much. I loved him so much. The last word trailed off as her voice began to crack. Her head was now hanging low. I never knew that my foster mother would have resorted to murder. She killed Germani while he was still sleeping, and I finally mustered up the strength to go to the trial. They charged my foster mother with murder and my foster father with rape and sexual battery. It was made very clear that I was never going back to that home. But in all honesty, the damage was done. I was lost without my baby. No direction. No place to call home. And no one to love me. I resorted to the streets, to selling my body to make money. She paused again and looked up at her brother with tears in her eyes. She spoke softly, but with conviction. Khalil, I am tired of the person I currently am. Being sexually abused was one thing. But to have Germani's life taken for no reason was the last straw for me. My son was the only thing that humanized me. And since he was taken from me, my life has no sense of direction. I have lived in this dark place, unloved and unwanted. I ask God every day, why Germani? He could have taken me. Now I have nothing to live for. But since God will not let me go, I at least want to be free of the life that I'm currently living. I don't expect you to help me, but I want you to understand that this is my life now. This is now the burden that I must carry. She sat back down, holding herself. The combination of the emotionally charged experiences and the physical pain had taken its toll on her. Khalil had walked to his now seated sister, dropped to one knee, and looked at his sister. He spoke in a low voice. I understand. And I will do anything that I can to help the both of you. He nodded at Shaw. What do you need? What do you need from me? Help me leave my situation. Help me start over. Please help me help myself. Please. Khalil looked at his sister. He saw so much hurt and pain. He saw so much pain and hurt in her eyes. That was the excerpt from Broken Chains, written by me. That is the emotionally charged moment that I talked about. That I talked about earlier. When it came to the point of writing those parts, at that point, there was a lot of emotional upheaval in me already, and I was already on the verge of tears. And as I'm writing it, the tears were already flowing. Every time I read that, I always get emotional about it because it brings about a lot of, it reminds me of a lot of emotional pain that a lot of us deal with when we're dealing with these situations, we're dealing with these types of things. And I don't think we understand the brevity or the breadth of what it is that we go through or what it is that we endure, especially when we're going through our own physical pain and we're trying to get someone to understand or to the very least relate. Now, I want to talk, guys, a little bit briefly about the six phrases that I put in here. And then I'm going to let you guys know where you can find this book. The six things that I talked about: educate, escape, get safe, stay safe, empower, and protect. Education. is learning what it is you're being subjected to and calling it for what it is. Also, the other part of that is learning what the statistics of it are, learning how this goes down, how it happens. This is something that has been, domestic violence and abuse has been something that's been prevalent in this world for a long, long time. And with the advent of COVID, it increased because everybody was locked down and inside, and the people that were being abused were now locked in with their abusers. No longer could they have the safety of their job, of an outside job, to protect them. So educate yourself. Know what it is that you're being subjected to. Escape. Also, the other part of educate is understanding that any person that puts their hands on you, threatens or coerces you, controls you in some aspect, intimidates you, prevents you from working or going to school, says the abuse is your own fault, or or isolates or alienates you from family and friends. They don't love and they don't care about you. That is abuse. That is that is part of the education. Understanding that you are being isolated or alienated from family and friends. Understanding that you may have been there. Someone is exerting a modicum of control over you. Someone that's disrespecting you or coercing you or threatening you, or someone that you love, such as maybe children or whatnot. That's all a part of education. Understanding what it is. Escape. A simple word, but not a simple deed or task. Abusive situations always have the potential to escalate to further violence. Escape, like I said, escape is a simple word, but not a simple task. If you can safely leave, do so. If you're in an abusive situation, I'm gonna say this to any man or woman, even including a child. You should always have a bug out bag or a go bag ready. Everybody should have a bug out or a go bag ready. What does this bug out or go bag? What should this bug out or go bag contain? Extra cash. Telephone numbers of either shelters or people that you know will keep you, that will protect you and keep you anonymous. Extra cash. At least 2 to 3 changes of clothes and toiletries. At least 1 to 2 pairs of shoes and toiletries. Any important information such as maybe a birth certificate or maybe a birth certificate or duplicate bank cards or whatnot. That should be in your bug out bag too. But escape. If it is safe to escape, do so. If you have children and you're in an abusive relationship, if it is safe to escape with your children, then do so. Get safe. Simple. Go somewhere where you will be safe. Shelters or domestic violence shelters are great ways to be safe because those are. Number one, they're lighted. Number two, they have cameras. And number three, most of these shelters are gated, which means they deny access. If you can get to a shelter, get to a shelter. If you have an anonymous friend that you know will, you have a friend that you know will keep, will protect you and keep you anonymous, go to that friend. Make sure that you find somewhere safe to be. Stay safe. Once you're gone, stay gone. It's not worth it to go back to an abusive situation. Never assume that the abuser will change. Because the moment you go back into that situation, I guarantee you that abuser is going to make it even more difficult for you to escape. Empower yourself is kind of an easy thing to do, but not always an easy thing to do. First and foremost, it's what I'm about to say. It's not about men fighting women or vice versa. It's about protecting oneself. Empowerment includes a lot of things. Number one, taking up a self-defense class. There are a lot of martial arts out here that are wonderful as far as self-defense is concerned, that are excellent as far as self-defense is concerned. If applicable, learn how to legally obtain and safely and properly operate a firearm. Again, this is not about men fighting women or women fighting men or vice versa. This is about protecting oneself. Learn to be proficient with that firearm. Understand the legalities of using that firearm. Meaning, what's going to happen if I open fire on this person? If I open fire on this person in self-defense, understand the legalities of that. And then the last one is protect. Protect yourself and your children. If you have small children, or even any child that you have, you have a duty to protect them as well as yourself. By any means necessary. You have a right to protect yourself by any means necessary. You have a right to use force if necessary. Again, it's not about men and women fighting each other. This is about pretending. It's about learning to get yourself educated. It's about escaping. It's about getting safe. It's about staying safe. It's about empowering yourself. And it's also about protecting yourself. These things to me are non-negotiable. And I wanted to write about that because I felt that it was important for people to understand what this is and what it isn't. Abuse in any form is abuse. Let's just call a spade and leave it at that. You know what I'm saying? So, with that being said, y'all, I'm gonna get out of here. But I want to leave you guys with the link to this book. Broken Chains is currently available on Amazon as a paperback and an ebook. I'm gonna place the link in the chat. Give me a second here. I'm gonna place this link in the chat. There y'all go. The link is in the chat. Excuse me. Do me a favor, go get the book. And again, it's on Amazon as an ebook and as a paperback. Actually, what you'll see now, this was the original cover. However, I want to tell you guys that I re-released those books late last year. So I added a little bit of new content to the book. I also updated the covers to the ebook and the paperback. So when you see the book, there's going to be an updated cover for both the ebook and the paperback. So I also updated the formatting, and I want to give credit where credit is due right now. I know this guy's not watching right now, but I want to give a big shout out to my brother Willie LeBlanc. He did an excellent job with formatting. With reformatting the book, and when I took a look at it for the first time with being its reformatted form, it looked awesome. I think you guys are going to enjoy the book. So, with that being said, man, the link is in the chat. Broken Chains is currently available, currently out right now. Again, it's out right now as an ebook. and a paperback on Amazon. Do me a solid. Go pick up the book. And if you are fortunate to pick up the book and you read it through and you read it in its entirety, do me a favor. Leave me a review. Reviews help me as a writer. They help me in ways you never could imagine or even quantify. It helps me improve my craft. Not that I'm not improving my craft anyway, but it helps me improve my craft. It also helps me put out more content, put out more books for you guys. But it's a great tool for me to kind of gauge what you guys like about what I write and what you guys don't like about what I write and how I can improve as a writer. I want to thank you guys for tuning in tonight to this special edition of The Author's Alley, being an intimate evening with yours truly. Once again, I am Frederick BDI. I am the author of Broken Chains, which is currently available on Amazon. Make sure you guys go get that book. And make sure that you're following us, Trailblazers Radio, on all our social media platforms. We are on LinkedIn, we are on Instagram, we are on Facebook. We have a YouTube channel. If you're watching this from our YouTube channel, do me a favor, hit that subscribe button, hit the bell notifications to be notified when we go live again. Working on a Patreon page, working on a Linktree page. We also have a website, www.trailblazersradio.com. We also have a toll-free number, guys. So if you're a potential guest and want us, Trailblazer Radio, to talk to you on air about what you have. We talk to entrepreneurs, independent artists, authors, spiritual and religious leaders, political leaders. We talk to them all. We also talk about a myriad of subjects. Like I said before, we're not afraid to walk through those closeted doors. Because one of the things I've always said, we're gonna tell it like it is, period. We're going to tell it like it is, period. Reach out to us, man. Reach out to us. Telephone number is 1-866-252-9374. That's 1-800. That's 1-866-BLAZE-4. Leave a message. We will get back to you within a 24 to 48 hour time frame. If you want to reach out to us via email, our email address is trailblazerradio@gmail.com. If you want to reach out to us, our email address is, like I said, is trailblazers@gmail.com. Reach out to us via email. Again, same response time. 24 to 48 hours. We would love to talk to you on our platform. If you guys are looking for advertisement opportunities, I am working on crafting and finalizing an advertising package. So that package will be made available soon. If you guys are looking to do any type of advertising, we would love to advertise your business. If you're an author or independent artist, you have something that's going to be released soon. We would love to advertise that on our platform. Get in contact with us via phone or via email. And that's it, man. That's it. I thank you guys for tuning in. I thank you guys for watching. I thank you guys for taking the time to listen to me, to understand a little bit more about me as a writer, why I write, and me giving you guys a breakdown from my first ever published book, Broken Chains. Again, it's available on Amazon. When you go to Amazon, you type in Broken Chains or you type in FLBD, you'll see it. But the link is right there. You notice that there is new covers for both the paperback and the ebook. But before I get out of here, y'all, I want to put this out here really quickly because it was something that had been on my mind earlier today. And I want to put this out here, and I kind of want this to kind of be what I'm, you know, I want you guys to take this for as it is, because it's not an attack on anybody, and it's not me saying anything bad about anybody in any way, shape, or form. Listen. We all are perfectly, perfectly imperfect. I'm gonna make that phrase more specific to me. I am not without blemish. I am not without flaw. I am not without my shortcomings. I am not without my mistakes. I am not without my faults. I am not without my errors and my lapses in judgment. I am not without the consequences of the choices that I've made. I am not without the accountability that I've had to take, that I've taken for the things that I've done. I'm not without forgiveness of myself and of others. The reason I say that I am perfectly imperfect is because I am just that. There's not a day in my life that goes by that I don't think about the things that I've done to people, and the things that people have done to me. But when I look back at all of it, I look back at all the things that have happened to me over the last few years. And I look back on all of it and I tell myself that, damn, I'm still here. I'm still here. That means something to me. Despite my mistakes, despite my flaws, despite my imperfections, despite all the things that life has thrown at me, all the mistakes that I've made in my life, but despite all the people that I've hurt, and all the people that have hurt me, I'm still here. I'm still walking this thing out. I'm not perfect by any means, though. And I want us as people to understand this. We are not perfect by any means. Though we are striving for perfection, we will never achieve it. We'll never achieve perfection. We may achieve something that is close to it, but we'll never achieve true perfection. Contrary to popular belief, we're human beings, so we're always going to make a mistake. We have flaws. We have idiosyncrasies. We make choices, and then we pay for those choices by the consequences. Plus, consequences aren't always bad. Consequences teaches us lessons. There are lessons in consequences, y'all. But I want to say that none of us are perfect. None of us will never be perfect. So we are all perfectly imperfect. For those that know, they know. For those that don't know, trust me. It's gonna be a man cave conversations or a check-in show about it. Most definitely gonna talk about it. But with that being said, man, I'm gonna get up out of here. Make sure you guys tune in Saturday for Critical Conversations. My sis LSG is in the building. Monday, Behind the Eye of Kai. Monday behind the eye of Kai. Also, therefore, also next Monday, the check-in values and values part three. I got my sister LSG in the building. Also, Shawan Jones is going to join us that day, and we're gonna break down. We're still talking about values. Still talking about value. So we go pick up right where we left off. And then again, Girl Chat Weekly on Tuesdays. Again, I think either T Way to the Point or Sofa and Chats with T and K. And then possibly maybe Thursday, I may come on with something. Or maybe Friday, I may come on with something. But again, if anybody wants to reach out to us, man, look, telephone number's right there. 866-BLAZE-4. Email address is right here. Reach out to us. I guarantee the Trailblazer Radio experience will be nothing. Will be like, it's not like anything you've ever experienced before. But with that being said, y'all, I love y'all. I love y'all to life. I love y'all to live. Man, look, this life is worth living. So take it one day at a time and never give up. And as I always like to say, I say when I close these podcasts, number one, take care of each other. Number two, love on each other. Number three, it is a crazy, crazy world out here, y'all. So above all, please, 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 please be safe out here, y'all. Y'all know wherever you guys are, I know the tips are dropping. So make sure you guys are someplace safe. So make sure you guys are someplace warm. Get you something hot into you, like some hot tea or some hot cocoa. And just enjoy the rest of this night, y'all. Enjoy the rest of the night. I love you guys. Gonna take y'all home with a video. I hope you guys enjoyed this. I love you. Until the next time. Peace out.
Thank you.